You know, I was wondering, thinking about birds and the birds returning in the spring and so on and so forth. Were there ever passenger pigeons in the Northeast, in the Adirondack region? You know, you read about these flocks in the Midwest that would take, they would darken the sky for hours or it would take all day to fly by. Do you think there was ever anything like that around here?
I always assumed, like you did, I'd always heard the reports from the Midwest about these huge flocks and just assumed that's where they were. But in fact, a lot of them were probably migrating over here to the Northeast. That, in fact, there are direct reports from Tupper Lake, Meacham Lake, and other places in the Adirondacks of when did the passenger pigeons show up this year.
Huh.
Like it was in early May in the 1856 or whatever the year was, like that. So they were definitely here.
Did they nest in this region?
They had roosts and nests and everything pretty much all over the northeastern U.S. and were a major part of the ecosystem. So one person calculated that passenger pigeons made up between a quarter and a third of all birds in North America.
Wow.
At one time.
So if they were breeding in your neighborhood, it must have been quite a sight. I mean, they were huge flocks. They didn't split up to breed or anything, did they?
No, it was relatively communal, these giant flocks that would migrate up in the early spring, usually getting in around April in the Adirondacks, late March into maybe early May was mm-hmm. the most common. And then they would migrate south again in the fall, heading down to maybe the Carolinas or something like that. It was just some of these flocks were enormous. There were reports of them being more than a mile wide, horizon to horizon, taking all day to go overhead, being maybe 20 birds deep, and sometimes in multiple layers stacked on top of each other.
So if they came to sit down in your woods, what happened to your woods?
Oh, they said it was like bird turds, like a downpour. There would be inches, sometimes maybe a foot of guano under these roosting areas.
Wow.
They'd come in, and the trees would be covered. All the branches would be covered with these things, and then the newcomers would land on top of the first ones that were already sitting there, and branches would break off, trees would be bent over.
Wow.
And so they'd pretty much denude areas of the food. It was mostly beech nuts up here that they were eating, and that must have had a huge impact on the wildlife around here, like deer and bears and maybe red squirrels that depend on the beech nuts.
Right. And think of those areas where there was a foot of bird guano on the ground. I mean, wouldn't that change the whole sort of ecology of that area, the soil and the vegetation? And
It's probably got impacts. There must have been patchy areas in the Adirondacks and other parts of the country that used to be old passenger pigeon roosts with gobs of this nutritious fertilizer
yeah.
on there. There are reports of places where first all the guano would kill everything because it was too rich
mm-hmm.
and the trees would all be denuded. And then years later, there'd be lush growth of pokeberries. Some people said that the best place to find ginseng in a lot of areas was under these old roosts because it was so fertile under there. So maybe some of the ecology of the northern forest
depends,
was determined in the past when we had these giant passenger pigeons for centuries.
Well, we don't have them anymore, you know. I mean, they went extinct before the turn of the century, right around the turn of the century.
In 1914, the last one died in captivity. They were on their way out. By the early 1800s, slowly, it picked up by the late 1800s and was a really precipitous decline, and then it was too late to do anything about
yeah.
it by the turn of the century there.
And it was basically manned. I mean, they must have been sitting ducks for any kind of predator. I mean, if you're roosting and there's millions of you sitting in the trees, you're going to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
But
the birds
had,
of prey were getting them,
yeah.
but the worst was when people went in and were shooting indiscriminately and disrupting the nesting areas. And they weren't able to reproduce and replace themselves.
Uh-huh.
So people would drive them off the nest. They would all pretty much lay their eggs at once. So if you scared them off that day, the entire flock didn't make any babies that year. And there was no protection from them. They couldn't replace their numbers, and that was the end of them.
Thanks very much, Dr. Kurt Steger of Paul Smith College. I'm Martha Foley.
Natural Selections is produced by North Country Public Radio with natural sounds by Ted Mack. The program is underwritten by the Glenn and Carol Pearsall Adirondack Foundation, dedicated to improving the quality of life for year-round residents of the Adirondack Park. www.pearsallfoundation.org. And Paul Smith's, the College of the Adirondacks, 800-421-2605.